This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Ladies and gents, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden. And once again, we have a nice, well, I don't want to say a nice show. Every show is a good show, but this show is a little different because unfortunately, the Vikings, the season, Pat P, he's home. No more football for the Minnesota Vikings, unfortunately. And with that being said, we must recap the last game of, granted, wasn't 2022, but of course the 2022 season because the guys made it to the playoffs. So our faithful fans, thank you for tuning in, checking us out once again on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, tell a friend to tell a friend, and for our listeners listening to us on podcasts, whatever podcast platform you subscribe to, thank you for listening as well. We're going to make this as best as possible. We got to keep it real, but let's tap into the recap, Giants recap, playoff week recap versus the New York Giants. Of course, the Giants win. What was my prediction, Eric? Do you remember my prediction? I can't remember what my prediction was, but I think I had a very, very close ball game. My prediction was 29-24 Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings' first one-score loss of the season came at the worst time. Home loss for the team that had Super Bowl aspirations. Pat P, you were there live and in color. How disappointing to end your season in that fashion was it?
Man, it was very disappointing to end the season in the bank the way we did. You know, just had so much high hopes and aspirations for the team. But the good part about all of it is that, man, I had opportunity to continue to grow some great relationships. Gotten better from the year previously. Just having an opportunity to be in a tournament, you know, that's, you give yourself a fighting chance, you know, and that's all you can ask for, you know, especially at this stage in my career, you know. So it was definitely a devastating loss to lose to those guys. Didn't win on first down, gave those guys a lot of third downs and short. Daniel Jones looking like Michael Vick a little bit, out there. Just couldn't get off the football field, man. You know, that I think that's what really killed us in that game. We wasn't getting those countless stops that we was accustomed seeing and getting throughout the year, or even a turnover, you know. So, you know, we thrive off, you know, creating turnovers and flipping the field position. But none of those things happened for us, you know, so it was very unfortunate that it didn't, but very, very proud of the way the season went for us. Winning 13 games in the season is extremely hard. That's an accomplishment in itself, winning the North. That's one of those boxes that we wanted to check off, and we wasn't able to get the other two that we had out for ourselves. But, you know, Coach KO and Kwesi, those guys got something good going on around there. So we'll see what the future has to bring to the Minnesota Vikings.
You talked about Daniel Jones, who performed outstanding for the Giants. I mean, two games against you guys, he's had a pretty nice outings. What was the issue defensively? And for you guys, you talked about not getting the necessary stops, you know, putting pressure on Daniel Jones. What allowed Daniel Jones just to have such a good ball game?
I think it just put him in a really good position to not, you know, turned the ball over, you know, for the most part. You know, they ran the ball really well. They came out and really really wanted to get into that 21 personnel, which is a 21 pony. So they had two running backs in the game, Saquon and
Rita. Yep.
Yeah, and the two receivers, but making it look like 11 personnel is trying to find, create matchups, you know, and they did a really good job of that throughout the game. Didn't see much of that. We know they have a lot of 21 pony.
Did they show that the first meeting with
personnel
with two running backs?
Yeah, they have it in their assist and, you know, in their scheme, but they came out and really wanted to, you know, specialize in that specific personnel, and that they did. You know, they did a, you know, did a good job of knowing what we was in certain defenses, you know, looking for those mismatches across the board, trying to get their guys, their fast guys in space. So they had a really, really good game plan to not mess it up. You know, their defense is always pretty good. They're going to play aggressive. They're going to get after the quarterback. It's just, for the most part, you know, just looking at the way they play and their brand that they bring to the stadium is, you know, we're going to play smash mouth football and mistake-free offense. I'm sorry, smash mouth defense and mistake-free offense, and just try to find a way to get a dub at the end of the game.
And talking about the brand, Daniel Jones has really represented their brand mightily this season. And it was a play, I thought he was going to get you. I was like, hold on. People don't understand. Number one, Daniel Jones is a big guy. Number two, he's not just big, he's strong. Man, take us through that play when it seemed like he had you with that stiff arm and you found a way to get him down to the ground.
Yeah, you know, when you're hitting a quarterback, it's always funny, man, because you never know if they're going to slide. You know, he's one of those guys
that's Pat P. Hold on, Pat, before you get, that's the thing that I wish they even out, make it fair. Because as a defender, you already know it's the thin line between making an honest tackle or the referees considering you to be a little too aggressive.
Right.
Then it's a thin line. It's a judgment call on, is this guy going to take a slide or is he going to try to come at me?
So right.
As most defenders, I would assume when you see a quarterback running, even if it's an athletic guy, when they're getting close to you, you kind of start to take your foot off the gas a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you don't want the extra 15-yarder. But yeah, carry on.
Yeah. So I initially thought he was going to slide. So I was like, all right, let me brace down a little bit. Just in case he slide, I can, you know, just jump over him. But then when I saw him kind of like tuck the ball, then that's when I had to kind of gear up myself. Oh, now he's trying to run the football now, you know. So then I saw him putting out the stiff arm. You know, the quarterback, you still can't really tackle them high because they're still protected, you know. So I saw him bringing out the stiff arm, and I knew he's not like a running back that's going to like get it out there and pop it. You know, he just left it out there hanging. So I saw that and I let him get, you know, I let him get, you know, connected to me because I know he was trying to avoid me and stiff me. So as soon as he got connected to my shoulder pad, that's just when I grabbed the top of his arm or the top of his shoulder pad and drug him down to the ground. But, you know, trying to tackle a quarterback is always a catch 50-50, man, because you never know what they're going to do. Because you've seen times where Daniel Jones slid, and you've seen times where he ran out of bounds. You've seen times where he's trying to deliver a blow. You know,
no
so
question. No
you just
question.
Never know when a quarterback is running out of the pocket.
Pat P, are there any plays you wish personally you could have back from Sunday, or just in totality with the defense? When you think about the ball game, are there any plays where you wish, man, wish we can get a do-over on that because the outcome would have been different? Maybe that possession would have been different.
Probably the drive where I got the PI in the end zone. I wish I would have had that play back because I feel like I think we was only down three at that time, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember what the score was, but they end up scoring on that drive, and I believe that was third down, if I remember correctly. Maybe it was
you were in press man.
It was in press man. It was like maybe the 6-yard line.
Daniel Jones I remember that.
Out to their left and came back to the right. And the receiver was kind of, trying to get open. And I was just kind of like guiding him. I wasn't, trying to restrict him from, getting the ball. But they ended up calling it.
For holding. And they hit you with holding.
No, they called pass interference.
It was pass. It's a PI. Okay.
Yeah. So, they called me pass interference, which it should have been holding because the quarterback threw it out of bounds. It wasn't like the ball was even catchable. No, I believe if we get that drive back, we stop them, hold them to at least 3, it give us a better opportunity to go down and score to try to take the lead versus, kind of in that, that go-go mode in a sense.
Take our listeners and our viewers through the process with that call. Granted, yes, you're right. It should have been holding, but they hit you with a PI. Because correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like you kind of looked in the backfield.
Yeah, I did because I knew he had rolled out to the left because of the initial play. I saw him looking to the left, and I don't know who flushed him out of the pocket, but he ended up like taking like a couple steps over to the left. So once I saw that, I got my eyes back on the receiver. Then I glanced back at him to see if he was even coming my way, to see if I have any action. And I saw him looking in the receiver. Kind of did like a little whirly bird, kind of like fake that he was going one way, end up going the other. And I had his hips or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they ended up getting that call on me. But if we, I feel like we get that drive back. And just in general in the game, if we just had an opportunity to put ourselves in better third down situations, in that whole game, they probably was averaging 3rd and 3,
They were winning first and second down for sure.
You know what I mean? So, and I talk about that all year. You have to win on first down. You have to win on first down to make teams more predictable because when it's 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4, the whole playbook is open. They may run it again. Now it's first down again or 3rd and 1. You know what I mean? So that's just how important winning first down is, and that's what it's going to have to be a point of emphasis moving forward, if we want to. Well, if I'm there next year, if we want to be a successful defense.
Yeah, and that play you're talking about, I think that was 3rd down, and eventually Saquon Barkley was able to punch it in.
Yeah, so I feel like if I get that play back, I think it's a different game.
Yeah. Let's talk about your quarterback, Kirk Cousins. He graded out. He was the highest graded quarterback of the weekend in the playoffs. He was the highest graded quarterback, but people are focusing – deserving so in the final play where he threw it short of the sticks. What did you think of his performance and what are your thoughts on that final play? Because I have my thoughts as well, but of course you were there being able to see it up close and personal. And then of course, just seeing how that was the final ending of the season. But what's your thoughts on Kurt's performance and then the final play?
I thought he played solid. I thought obviously everybody wished they could have some plays back, not watching the film, on the offense and seeing what they did, but just being on the sideline, I thought he played solid. I thought he put the ball, where it needed to be in times. Obviously, like I said, we all wish we could have a couple plays back, but that goes with the game. So, and going to that final play, when I saw it, the only thing I could think of, I was like, he must have didn't know what down it was. I haven't heard his, explanation about it as of yet. But on the sideline, I was like, it just took me back, because I was just shocked that, we threw the ball, 3 yards, and we needed 8, So I really don't know, what went into that, how, that decision came about. Him throwing the ball, that short. But far as his overall performance in that game, I thought he played solid. I thought he was one of the top tier quarterbacks all year long. But yeah, man, he's a guy that you can win with for sure. As a team, we have to do, a better job of continuing to pick each other up, when we need to.
So my thoughts, here are my thoughts on this play, and I love the chat it up with you. And for our listeners and our viewers, if you got any comments about this final play, because yes, he's been criticized. What I saw, number one, let's talk about Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah, he was unblockable. It was some pressure too.
He was unblockable the whole game. And it wasn't like he was trying to hide and seek. No, he was running straight down the teeth of the interior offensive lineman. And that bull rush was unstoppable. So it's fourth and eight. And if you look at the play and you look at the wide receivers that were running routes, everyone except TJ had longer routes. What I mean when I say longer routes, any routes longer than eight to 10 yards, right? Mm-hmm. So when Kirk got the ball and was getting ready to go through his drops, Dexter Lawrence was already collapsing the pocket himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was coming straight. He had a beeline, I think, on, was it Bradbury or whoever it was. They didn't stand a chance. So if you're Kirk Cousins, you're like, oh, shoot, I definitely can't get sacked.
Right.
But I don't have enough time to go through my progressions for the guys who are running deeper routes. I got to get it out of my hand. Now, granted, if hindsight is 20/20, all of us would be in a better situation. But when that happens, and Pat, you know how fast it happened on the football field. What people see from watching it via television
is
not the same when you're out there. It happens faster.
Right.
And then people get a chance to see the instant replay, and then they have an opportunity to say, oh, he should have did this, or he should have did that. I'm going to tell you what I did one time when I was playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I wanted to understand, number one, outside of what I already knew by playing the game, why the quarterback position is considered the toughest position on a football field and why they get paid so much money. So one time during a week of preparation, Pat P, you know how it is. When a defense is going through the scout team offense, our offense is usually sitting and they're going up adjustments on the side or they're running conditioning drills, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So when our offense was getting ready to go against our scout defense, I wanted to look at the viewpoint behind Big Ben. So what I did was I stood and I watched, and this was a passing period where you know it's all passing, right? It was 11-on-11 all passing.
Yep.
Man, I sit there and I stood behind Big Ben. I was probably like 10 yards away from the offense because, of course, the guys are rushing, so I didn't want to be in the way. Clearly couldn't be in the way of his drops. But I was watching from the back of the quarterback.
Yeah. It's different.
Ooh, boy, that's heat.
Yeah.
Number one, you got guys that are protecting for you that are 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". Number two, you got guys who are rushing who are 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", and they're coming full tilt.
Yep, every play.
Pat P,
every drop back.
It had my heart pumping so fast. I'm like, oh, shoot, this is what it looks like?
Yeah.
And it happens over and over again. And that was just only practice, ladies and gentlemen. That wasn't a for real game.
That's not even live action.
When it's live, it is super intense. But that was just practice. So I had a newfound respect on quarterbacks and what they go through in regards to just being in the pocket, standing up, standing firm, and having to always look down the barrel of a gun, basically with the pressure coming down.
Pretty much.
Listen, man, you get to whom much is given, much is expected, no question. But that's not an easy job. And when I saw that play instantly, I'm like, man, Kurt ain't have no time. He ain't having no time because if he held that football maybe one more second, he was going to get sacked.
Yeah.
Because if you get sacked, you're going to get criticized. You took the sack, right? But then you have to factor in Pat Pino as his defender. When these guys got routes that are calling for you to be, it's a 10-yard route, it's a 12-yard route. Man, come on. You know it takes time.
Yeah, it's going to take time. Yeah, like I said, I didn't see the film. I didn't even watch the instant replay. You know, I just saw the play. Haven't looked at TV since.
Man, listen, Dexter Lawrence was a grown man the whole time. Some of the passes that Kurt was able to complete, he was doing so with somebody down his throat, basically.
Right.
And for him to grade out as high as he graded out, that's amazing because, like I said, pressure was coming. If it wasn't Kayvon Thibodeau, it was freaking Dexter Lawrence. It was Leonard Williams. Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence alone just kind of wrecked shop.
Yeah.
On offensive game plan for you guys. And speaking of that, Justin Jefferson, you know, started off the game 4 catches. And after that, you know, only, 3 the rest of the game. During the first drive, he had 4 catches. What in regards to the support around Justin Jefferson moving forward, you know, what needs to be done for him to continue? Number one, not Justin develop, but we know who he is as a player. But for this offense to be able to be striking, be a competitive offense, even when Justin is not involved in the game plan because of the attention he's receiving?
Just have to continue finding ways getting guys involved, you know, especially when you have, you know, the type of running back that you have and the cast of players that you have. You know, you just have to, you know, find better ways in utilizing those guys to be able to open the door that much more for everybody else, you know, because when you have a good running game, you know, that opens up the play action. We all know Kirk is one of the best play action quarterbacks in the game, boot quarterbacks in the game. I think when you do that, now you can get Justin off, you know, once now, Justin is making his plays, making his hay, and now you got TJ, you know, doing his thing. So
it's, yeah, TJ has been a big time addition.
Yeah. And I know it's tough and Kyle, and I, it's a great problem to have when you have so many weapons, but then again, you have to do a great job of making sure that you not only keeping everybody happy, but keeping defenses honest, you know, when you show up to the football stadium on Sundays, you know. So, you know, I know Coach Kevin is going to do, you know, his due diligence into this season and seeing how he can be better, you know, as a coach, as a play caller. And I can't wait to see what is going to happen because, you know, I've just been around him for, you know, this season, knowing his drive, you know, knowing, you know, what he want, you know, out of himself and his players. The sky's the limit for him.
I know that 2015 team with Arizona was something that, you know, was memorable based on the success. But in your career, when you look at everything you guys accomplished, winning the division, having a home playoff game, the overall record that you guys were able to finish with, do you feel like this is one of the best teams you've been on thus far?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Definitely one of the better teams I've been on, despite the success. But just the cast of players, you know, that we had on every level, you know, that was able to compete and be, you know, be a top tier player, you know, at their position, you know. So having an opportunity to have that in Arizona, you know, we went pretty deep into the playoffs. You know, having that here in Minnesota, we have had an opportunity to go to the playoffs, you know. So this is definitely one of the better teams I've been on, but that Arizona team, that's a hard one to beat, man. I just wish, you know, I wish we can go back and give my man Carson my ligament out of my index finger so he can be able to play the ball as good as he needed to.
No doubt. Well, you got to take a quick time out, but when we come back, a quick season in review in regards to the Minnesota Vikings. And of course, let's start talking about the future for our very own P2. What's next? Stay tuned and find out.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We back, took care of a few bills. Now it's time to tap into the overall 2022 season, right? Successful year, as Pat P mentioned. Granted, you didn't get a chance to get to the ultimate game, which is the Super Bowl, but yet and still a very, very successful season. Minnesota Vikings fans should definitely be happy with the group, everything they were able to accomplish, you know, winning a division that has been owned by the Green Bay Packers over the last few years, having a home playoff game, you know, with a rookie coach at that. Don't forget, Kevin O'Connell is a rookie head coach. Not a lot of rookie coaches in their first year, they're able to get to the playoffs, better yet, have a home playoff game. So that's a big time plus. So Pat P, man, you were there hands-on, one of the ultimate leaders for the team this year. What does the future look like for the Vikings based on everything you guys accomplished this year?
I feel like the future is very bright. You know, like I said earlier in the show, I think, you know, KO and Kwesi, they got a good thing going on around there. You know, those guys were able to build and establish their brand, you know, right out of the gate. Now they set the standard for themselves, you know. So, I know those guys are ultimate competitors, and they're not going to stop until they reach, you know, that ultimate team goal. You know, mm-hmm. Coach Kevin had an opportunity to go through that with the Rams, and he wanted to be able to share that, you know, with the organization that, you know, never had an opportunity to hoist a Lombardi trophy, you know. So, those guys are the Wolf family have the right guys in charge running that team to try to fulfill that dream that all the Minnesota Viking fans and Skull Nation have for that team.
What areas of improvement do you think the team will look to address during the offseason?
I know they will try to get some corners. You know, I know they're going to want some depth. You know, I know they got, you know, drafting Andrew and Caleb last year, getting Cam there, but a lot of those guys have been banged up, and we know this game mm-hmm. is all about what have you done for me lately. So I
can no question
those guys getting some probably getting some corners in there, some depth on the D line, like D tackle ish, because you know Dalvin is a free agent this year, so I can see them trying to get someone a stopper up in there if they're not able to get him back. On offense, don't really know, man, what they're looking for on offense. I know I'm mm-hmm. Going to probably, you know, you got the tight end. I don't know what Dalvin Cookie Monster situation is with his contract.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he's there again another year, if I'm not mistaken. Just probably for the most part, you know, I don't know how long Brian is going to be out, you know, so maybe get some offensive line depth. You know, for the most part, I know you're going to need a center, maybe a receiver on the outside that can, you know, try to help take some of that stress off of JJ and help that offense, you know, be able to, you know, flow, you know, have the ball flowing in all different directions. I can see those things happening. And I know, like I said, KO, he knows, you know, the things that, you know, he want his team to be improved in coming into the next year. And I don't see them guys not getting whatever they may need to be a successful ball club.
Talk to the Viking fans right now, Skull Nation, Pat P. What are the biggest positives the fan base should look at after a difficult exit from the postseason?
Man, just the fight. You know, I just remember Coach had showed this video. No, actually, it wasn't Coach. It was somebody. We had like a motivational speaker come in. And he went around asking like Viking fans, like, what do they want to see, you know, out of the Minnesota Vikings team this year? And they just all kept saying like finish. And I feel like that's something that we didn't finish as well as we wanted to in the last ball game. But I feel like every game this year was a complete opposite from the year before. And we was able to finish and close out games versus, you know, losing those close ball games. So to me, that's a huge positive, man, because if you're not able to win, you know, ball games or win situational football, you're not going to be a very, very, very good football team. And we was able to overcome some of those woes from last year and improve tremendously in 2022 and 2023 season. So it's, for me, that's a huge, huge
No question. And I'll say this, Viking fans, Skol Nation, this was a heck of an appetizer in regards to having a rookie coach and Kevin O'Connell just showing you what he can do. So now, moving forward, with that appetizer being so good, you're just ready for the main course now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So hopefully the main course is just as good as the appetizer, if not better. So we have to wait and see through time. And with that being said, you talk about having a great rookie campaign for Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi. Now it's about trying to do better in year two. So the expectations should be fairly high because you didn't come in and basically creep up on people. You knocked down the doors. Right. You know what I mean? Winning the division, exceeding the expectations. And now people would, this is what they want. This is what they're expecting, plus more. So to be able to do that, Pat P, you got to have high-level players. You got to have, you got to have some dogs. You got to have some leaders. So with that being said, for the third straight year, you'll be a free agent. Mm-hmm. What does your future hold for you, Pat P?
Man, Mac, I don't know. You know, I want to continue to play. You know, I feel great. You know, the resume I put up this year is proving that, you know, so the body is in great shape, man. The mind is in great shape. So as long as my body and mind is willing to go, that's how long I'm going to go, you know? So
yeah,
I'm going into this free agency, you know, again, this year, looking to play and looking to play at a high level again, you know, so that mindset and that attitude is never going to change. So, who's ever looking for, you know, a guy that can, you know, you can count on, you know, week in and week out.
Talk about high level play, Pat P. You displayed that week in and week out this past year for the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm not just talking because you're my family. I'm talking because that's what the numbers say. You know what I mean? Regular season overall cornerback grade, you were sixth in the National Football League. I would imagine you got 32 teams. So you got 32 defenses, you got two cornerbacks per defenses. Well, I'm sorry, 31, not including you guys.
Yep.
Per defense. So that's what, 62 corners, right? And if you factor in the corner opposite of you, that's 63 corners.
Yep.
Right. I hope I did the math correctly. If I'm wrong, please forgive me. But that's 63 corners.
Florida State showed up. That's good.
Yeah. So I'm talking about starting corners. I'm not just talking about corners throughout the league. I'm talking about starting corners. So out of 63 corners, you finished sixth in coverage. I think that's pretty good. Right. Now, and that's sixth in coverage. You were fourth in interceptions with five. You were second
in interceptions, Cap.
You were second in interceptions. Second in interceptions, you had five. You were sixth in PBUs, you had 15, right? It's, when you talk about snaps per reception and coverage, you were first. Your grade was 36.7. That was tops in the National Football League. When you talk about rating in zone, you were second. I mean, I don't need to keep going on. Long story short, you were in your bag. So with that being said, if you want to factor in to the leadership that you displayed, being able to be a mentor to the young guys in the secondary, you know, leading by example, gathering the troops when they're not feeling their best. Prime example, the Indianapolis Colts game. I'll go back to what Kevin O'Connell said during his press conference. I heard Pat P talk to the office and Kirk Cousins say, "Hey, man, we're going to get a stop. All we need is five touchdowns. That's it." And walk off.
That's it.
And drop the mic. And Kevin O'Connell said, "You know what? He's right. All we need is five interceptions." So it seemed to be at a time when your head coach was still a little, the uncertainty was a little bit kind of going through his mind. He heard you was like, "You know what? Pat P is right." So with that being said, leadership like that, high-level play like that, you will be 33 by the start of the season, but who, we can't even tell because 32 Pat P look real good. It sounds like you want to be back in that purple and gold. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Man, no doubt about it. I would love to be there in that purple and gold again, man, to give it a run again, man, just because I love the community there. I love the organization. I love the new regime that the Mark and Wolf have brought into that building, the trainers, the strength and conditioning staff. You know, it's just amazing, man. I truly believe, like, it felt like home to me. You know, it felt like, you know, like I, you know, like it was a place that I belong, you know. But we all know it's a business. All I can do is continue doing me and being me. You know, what you guys saw, you just saw a little bit more of it. That's how I am every Sunday. You know, that's been me since I was in high school, you know. So just the world had an opportunity to see a little bit more of it, you know, because we was obviously rolling and, you know, you have all these NFL films, things going on now. So it's just a lot more cameras on those type of moments. But that's just who P2 is, man, every single day.
Well, P2 said that, you said that great, gave us your viewpoint. It's time to hear from the fans. This is what we love to do, fan participation. Let's start this right now. Let's start this buzz right now. Fans who are listening to us, chime into our comment section. Fans who are watching us on YouTube, let us know. Yes or no, should the Minnesota Vikings bring Patrick Peterson back? Simple as that. Is he deserving of being back? Yes or no? We're going to have a poll up, and we're going to do this. This is going to be an entertaining offseason, because what he did this season was showed all the naysayers that were saying he was washed, he was old, he lost the step. All I'm going to do is get five interceptions on y'all, right? I'm going to show y'all I'm one of the best man coverage corners in the league. I'm going to show y'all I'm one of the best overall corners in the league.
Still.
You know, and when you say overall corner, that's not just about being a guy who can cover. It's about tackling. It's about being where you're supposed to be. The numbers said you were one of the best to do it. And I just gave y'all the numbers. Out of 63 starting corners, your overall grade was the sixth best guy. The sixth best guy. And you talk about, that's 32-year-old Pat who's running with some guys who, like Sauce, who's probably 21, Jair, who's probably 24, guys who are in their 20s, you still showcase, man, listen, I'm still in here. I'm still here now. I'm still here. You know what I mean? So they call you LeBron in the locker room, right? I mean, that's what they call you, LeBron. We see LeBron ain't slowing down no time soon. So Pat P ain't slowing down no time soon. So with that being said, Pat P, viewers, our fans, should the Vikings bring Pat P back for one more run? Because you know he want to chase that ring. Because that's what you want, right, Pat P? You want to chase the ring with the Vikings, or regardless, you want to try to go get that ring when it's all said and done.
No doubt about it. I need that ring, Mac. I need it.
Man. And another cool nugget, out of 120 total corners graded, 67 qualified for the list. So it was 67 who qualified for the list, because as you know, Pat P, there are a lot of teams, their base set is with nickel, based on some of the offenses. So you got a lot of nickel corners who are involved. So my count was basically in regular formation, we only got two guys out there. But out of 128 total corners, 67 qualified, and you were the sixth best. That's a nice percentile. I know when we first started this show, man, years back, you said your goal was to play around 15 years. Is that still the goal for you?
Yeah, that's still the goal for me. Like I said, I'm gonna continue putting the body in the best position possible going into the season. And, you know, like I said earlier, man, once that body and my mind is not willing to go through that grind, that's when it's a wrap for me, because I feel like that's when I lost the love for the game. You know, when I'm not willing to put the hard work into, you know, the finishing product on what you want to see on Sunday. So 15 is still my goal. You know, I got to, what, three more seasons? Mm-hmm. Let's see where the good Lord takes me, man.
Man, now with the Vikings officially out of it, who is your Super Bowl pick?
My last year Dark Horse made it there. They ain't winning, but they made it.
Who was your last year Dark Horse?
Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah, you were. Yeah, you was. I remember you was riding with them all playoffs long.
I'm going back with Joe.
Mm. Oh, you going back with the LSU boy?
Yeah.
Okay. So you picking them to win it or get there?
Yeah, I'm picking them to get there.
So who are you picking to win it? So they'll represent the AFC.
Yeah, so I'm going to go. Man, I know everybody's waiting for my man out of Ford and San Fran to look like a rookie quarterback.
Brock Purdy.
It's going to be hard to make him look like a rookie quarterback just because the scheme that they present week in and week out, just so much misdirection and just so much trickery, you know, jet motions. I just think it's going to be hard to get him to play like a rookie. And I love their defense. Mm-hmm. I just love their defense. So I'm going to go 49ers, man.
49ers, Cincinnati, 49ers to win it. All right. All right. Last question for you before we let you go, Pat P. What will the offseason look like for you?
Same as always, Matt.
You're going to move around.
You already know, man.
Go ahead before I chime in. Go ahead.
Well, I'm gonna be a little bit everywhere, man. But
hey, deserving so you got a lot to celebrate, man.
Yeah,
you
talk man. About
even
yeah,
though you didn't man. Get to the pinnacle of pinnacles, but individually speaking.
Yeah, so I'm just be chilling, traveling, taking the girls to school, you know, spending some time with the wife, you know, just typical off season for the most part.
And make sure you let the fans know. Because you're a big time golfer, you know that's where your second love is outside of football. Waste management is coming up, right?
Yes, sir. Waste management is coming up, man. So
in Arizona, and we really wanted you to be a part of the Super Bowl, but unfortunately, you won't be a part of the Super Bowl. But you will be a part of Waste Management, and we're gonna be out there together as well. And so
yeah,
we got
man.
A lot. Yeah, we got. Yeah, so I might need to be a caddy.
I might be able to make that happen, man.
I might, because if I'm your caddy, I can give your fans, our viewers, our listeners, an inside look at Pat P, the golfer, because a lot of people don't know what kind of game you got out there. They just think you swinging, right? They don't really know what you got.
Yeah, man. You're gonna have to carry that bag, man. So make sure them biceps and them traps are ready, Cat.
What? Carry the bag.
Gotta carry my bag, caddy.
You mean with all the golf clubs?
Yeah, that's my bag. That's the only bag.
How many holes y'all be playing?
18. So we be out there for like 5.5 hours, man.
Ooh, Pat P. I can't do that. I can't sign up.
I knew you couldn't.
No, I drive a cart.
I ain't no cart in the tournament.
And I can be the narrator walk. From the cart, huh?
You got to walk, man. They ain't have no carts when the golf game 1919, when golf first came around. They had push carts.
Push?
Yeah, push. Push,
I don't know about that. Push. You gonna be out there for 18 holes?
Oh yeah, man. 18 holes, Jack.
I don't know, Pat.
Oh, man, I changed his mind.
Yeah, we have to figure something out. You 18 holes, man. And no, I don't know about that. We gonna catch you at the end. That's what we gonna do.
Yeah, just meet me on 16, man.
16.
You know, the last three together.
No question, but Pat P, he's officially in his off season. This should be a fun ride, and we definitely will give you guys in-depth looks about what's moving forward with Pat P. Clearly, he's not stepping away from the game. He wants to go at it one more time, put up outstanding numbers. It's going to be a fun offseason as he's moving around. We're going to be moving around as well. So we got a lot in store for you guys, not to mention tapping back in to our guest list. So we will be having big-time guests coming soon. But bear with us as we continue to watch the rest of the playoffs pan out. Pat P is picking the San Francisco 49ers. I'll do this, Pat P. I like San Fran, but if San Fran plays Philly in the NFC Championship game, I think Philly is going to beat San Fran. So my two teams to get to the Super Bowl is Kansas City and Philly.
Mm. I think San Fran gonna beat Hurts up, man. I really do.
San Fran got to get through Dallas this week now.
You heard what I said.
All right. Well.
So you want to, hey, so you like Dallas?
No. I'm not betting nothing on Dallas. Okay. I just said they got to get through Dallas. I'm not betting anything. I ain't tapping into my Amazon account with you right now. Not yet.
What'd you say?
I'm not tapping into my Amazon account with you just yet. Not yet. We're going to tap in there, but I'm not betting. I just said they got to get through Dallas first. That's all.
All right.
That rookie quarterback, he hasn't looked like a rookie quarterback yet. He haven't.
Yeah.
But you know it's going to surface at some point.
It is. We shall see.
We shall see. But hey, glad you made it through the season safe and sound. Now it's time to enjoy your offseason, get back to the grind, and we're going to be right there with you every step of the way because that's what we do. All things covered. We cover everything. Pat P, Brian McFadden, see you when we see you. Peace.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down!
Walk right up to the side.
A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.